Welcome to Hungry for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message by Vernell J.R. Samuel. For more information about Hungry for God Church, visit h4gchurch.com.
Let's remain standing. We're going to read Psalm 89. Psalm chapter 89, I was going to read this, verse 34. Psalm chapter 89, verse 34. God is serious. God is serious about blessing you. God is serious about blessing you. Do you believe that? I don't know how many times the word blessed is in the Bible, but it's in the Bible a lot. And who does the blessing? God. So God is serious about seeing his people blessed. It's a responsibility. It's a necessity that those of you that are called by his name walk and live a blessed life. Amen? Now, Psalm 89, verse 34 tells us this. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word. Covenant I will not break. It's good, just leave it where it is. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Let me read it one more time. My covenant. A covenant is a promise. It's an agreement that God has made. How do you even know we serve a God of covenant? We serve a God of promise. We serve a God who does nothing outside of his covenant. He does nothing outside of his covenant. And he says, I will not break it. So there, the God makes covenant. He makes promises. And we are supposed to find ourselves inside of the covenant in order to experience what that covenant offers. And we cannot be outside of the covenant and expect God to do something outside of his covenant, because his covenant he will not break. And what Christians try to do is we're begging God and trying to get God to do stuff, but we don't even know the covenant. So we're like praying and begging and asking God, God, show up, do this to me, do this to me. Well, is it a part of my covenant? And if it's not a part of the covenant, I'm not going to break it, nor will I alter the word that has gone out of my lips. So what I'm supposed to do as a believer is find out the covenant and put myself in it. Find out what he promised, because I know he won't alter his word, not even for me. I know he loves me, but he's not going to alter his word for me. Are you seeing this? God loves all people, but he's not going to alter his word for people. But we're supposed to alter our lives for his purposes. Come on. You know, Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, you don't got to turn to it. The Bible says, know therefore that the Lord your God, is faithful, is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. God is willing to keep his covenant even up to 1,000 generations, which means that if he made a promise to you and you live within that covenant, not only will you experience the benefits of it, generation after generation after generation after generation after generation after generation after generation, 1,000 times will receive the blessing of that one covenant that you chose to participate in with your life. Do you see this? That's why you got to understand that the life, you who said, I'm going to receive Jesus Christ in my life and I step into that, from now until another 1,000 generations, you just changed your family's legacy and lineage. Do you believe that? So I want you to look at somebody next to you and say, your history has changed. Find somebody else, say, your future has changed. Come on. Your future has changed. Your generations, the generations after you, because you have stepped into the blessings of God, your generations after you are going to experience that blessing. Hallelujah. What was harder for you is going to be easier for them. Hallelujah. The curse has been broken off of your life, and it's going to be broken off of another 1,000 generations. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, to establish his covenant. So not only does the Lord say your history is changed, your future is changed, but if you continue to remember the Lord your God who keeps his covenant, the Bible says, I'm going to give you power to get wealth to establish the covenant. So that means God wants to give you wealth in order to help you establish those covenants in your life. Come on. That means you're not the generation after you. You're going to be able to leave something for them that's going to make it easier for them to experience the promises of God. Come on. Abraham got into the blessing. Jacob was richer than him. Come on. God will add and multiply in your life because of your faithfulness. And not only about your faithfulness, but his faithfulness to his covenant. See, when you get involved with the covenant, it's not about your faithfulness anymore. He made the covenant. He made the promise. So he is responsible to perform his word. I'm just simply responsible to believe his word. I believe it, I participate in it, and the pressure is on him to perform his word. Amen? So you don't got to force your way to be blessed. You just simply believe your way in the blessing. Amen? Hallelujah. Come on, let's rejoice in it one more time. Come on, like you mean it. Amen. Come on, you may have your seats. I'm gonna jump straight into the word. I'm talking about covenant because it's extremely important we understand that this one truth about God. He is a God of covenant. He does not do anything outside of his covenant. So if you want to know how to get your faith to work, you first got to understand the covenant. The Bible says Jesus Christ, remember on communion, every communion we talk about this, how he established a new covenant, right? He gave us a new covenant. So even Jesus was about the covenants. And the new covenant said, all shall know me, right? All shall know me from the least to the greatest. Which means that the old covenant, which was reserved only for Israel, when Jesus died for everybody, he now allowed every single person who chose to believe, they get to also experience the benefits of the covenant. But we got to understand what the covenant is all about. Now, we talked about last week one of the financial principles that the Father attached not open heaven blessings, but he also attached a promise on that, a test on it, which was the principle of what? Tithing. Everybody say tithing. How many people were blessed by that word last week? I learned that. We realized that a lot of us have been taught to tithe, but we didn't really understand what the tithe is all about, right? Why do we tithe and how do we do it? And so today what I'm going to talk about is the three major ways that Scripture has outlined for us to give. Three ways to give and the three hows to give. Everybody say three ways and three hows. There are three major financial systems, I'll outline the word, that the Bible reveals how we should give. And once again, the Bible says God's ways are higher than our ways. So I can't approach this the way the world approaches it. I got to understand how it operates the way God wants it to be done, all right? Now, what did we learn? The first system we learned about in terms of how we give to the Lord is in tithing. And so the first way to give, and we don't got to stay there again, is tithing. So number one, give the tithe. Can I get a eraser? Number one, give the tithe. We learned last week that the tithe is how much percent of your income? 10%. He also told us that when you give the tithe, you bring the tithe to a house that his name is on, and you give it rejoicing. It's an act of worship. Thank you. You give the tithe, and y'all need it. I give it, it's 10%. This is our notes from the Tuesday nights. If you've never been here on a Tuesday, you're missing out. We're teaching on how to grow and actually hear the voice of God. So I want you to come out for that as well. But the first principle or the major principle. I need one of these too. What's going on? We learned that tithe is 10%. We also learned, according to Leviticus 27, that the tithe belongs to the Lord. that you never, if you, you don't think, you are, the tithe belongs to the Lord. Which means that it doesn't belong to me. It says that it's holy unto the Lord. So, in Malachi 3, he talked about how, he said, well, a man robbed God. And he said, how you rob me? Because you're robbing me of my tithes and offering. Because if it belongs to the Lord and I keep it to myself, if I keep something that doesn't belong to me, what's that called? Stealing. So when I keep the tithe, I'm actually stealing from God. Because it's something that belongs to him. So he says, 10% of your income belongs to me. And if you, when you give that to me, the Bible says, I will open up the windows of heaven. I will pour out a blessing that there won't be enough room for you to receive. He also says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And all the nations shall call you blessed. Just with the 10%. So if you're faithful on that little of the 100%, that little. If we're faithful over little, then God will make us a steward over much. So he says, give the tithe, it's 10%. And another thing I really want you to understand is, you cannot do what you want to do with the tithe. And I think God wanted me to emphasize that today. The tithe belongs to him. I don't take my tithe and do what I want with it, even if it's for a good cause. It belongs to the Lord, and he says, bring it to me. He will not break his covenant nor alter his word. So you got to do it his way, right? So I don't choose what I want to do with the tithe. The tithe is not an offering, it's a tithe.
I don't know. This too shall pass.
All right, the tithe is, it belongs to the Lord. I don't do what I want with it. And another thing is, you can't try to operate in any other, it doesn't really make any sense to try to operate in any other financial system if you ignore the tithe. Because if I keep the tithe and try to give and do anything else, the Bible says the devourer will come and eat it. And the devourer doesn't stop at 10%. Come on. He's going to take as much as he can. So when I give the 10%, however, God rebukes the devourer, and he makes sure that he protects the other 90%. I have a supernatural hedge fund over the rest of my money, and not only my money, my property. Heaven is open over my life. I got access to favor, resources, and all the stuff that God provides for us. Amen? So we want to make sure that we don't negotiate on the tithe. We want to give the tithe to the Lord. It belongs to him. Amen? All right, that's it enough. Number two, what's the second system set up in scriptures? Give an offering. Everybody say offering. This is also known as seed. Seed. Everybody say seed. Sowing and reaping. Let's look at Mark chapter 4, verse 8. Mark chapter 4, verse 8. Now, the offering is anything you give above 10%. Anything. Starting from 11 up. The offering is anything you give in addition to the 10%. Now, Mark 4, 8, the Bible says, but other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced. And some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now, the seed offering, like I said, is anything you choose above 10%. And this is where you actually begin to step into the 30, 60, 100-fold blessing. No other form of giving actually yields that kind of result. Not the tithe. The tithe gives you open heaven, rebukes the devourer, protects your assets. But the seed offering has the ability to multiply, and if you sow into good soil, the Bible says it will yield 30-fold, 60-fold, even 100-fold reward or return on your investment. Right? That's the seed offering. Genesis 8:22, he tells us that as long as the earth remains, there will always be seed, time, and harvest. There will always be seed, time, and harvest. That whatever you sow, you shall reap. But along with the seed, there's called a harvest. You sow a seed with the expectation that when I give something in faith, I'm going to receive a reward as a result of my faith. You don't. The motivation behind the seed offering is faith and reward. I'm doing this in faith, and I'm expecting reward as a result of what I do. Now, some people have probably taught you to be humble and say, when you give, you shouldn't expect anything in return. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus actually said in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men give into your bosom. All right? So when you do sow an offering, you should expect a return on that, because it's you're doing this in faith. If a farmer plants a seed in the ground and not expect fruit to grow, that's not a very wise farmer. The only reason why you're sowing is because you're expecting something back. Come on. So you sow an offering in faith, believing that because I've sown this, and you got to make sure you sow in good soil, good ground. All right? Because the soil determines if the seed is going to produce fruit or not. So you got to know who to sow into, what to sow into, what works. But it's important that you understand that God wants to bless you in significant ways. 2 Corinthians 9:10, Eli. Now watch this. This verse, God is changing my life with this verse here. 2 Corinthians 9. We're going to start from verse 10. Now watch this. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now your righteousness is any act of faith you've done according to this covenant. So when I tithe, for example, that's my righteousness. I'm demonstrating my righteousness, my faith in his word, that when I do this tithe, I have a fruit or reward from it. Now, the Bible says that God supplies seed to the who? The sower. So, from God's point of view, God sees you as a sower. God sees us all as sowers. A farmer, somebody who plants seed in the ground and gets it back, well, he looks at us as a sower. And he says, I give seed to the sower and bread for food. Now, notice something. God gives us both seed, and he gives us what? Bread. Now, the bread is what I can eat. He said, bread for food. But the seed is not for eating. It's for sowing. What happens is, when God begins to supply our needs, what he will do is give us our, he will allow us to get our needs met, which is represented by bread. We have enough to get our needs met. But then, he will give you excess. And that excess is your seed. So bread is my needs. My seed is my excess. Whatever I have beyond just enough that I need. Now, what happens is, if I don't think like a sower, if I think like a consumer, I'm going to take the seed and the bread. I'm going to eat both of them. But I'm not supposed to eat my seed. I'm supposed to sow my seed. Come on. What's the point of the seed? Because when I plant my seed, I ensure a harvest for me later. But if I eat my seed now, I got my harvest now. But I don't have a harvest later. Come on. Are you getting this? God gives me bread to eat, but then when I have a little more, I'm supposed to find ways to turn that into seed and sow it. I'm supposed to sow. Everybody say sow. But if I gotta start thinking like a sower. I gotta see my money as seed with the opportunity to say, okay, God, I got a little more today. How can I use this to plant harvest? I wrote this down, I was taking notes. You must know the difference between your seed and your bread. Your seed is for the future, your bread is for now. You don't plant bread in the ground, neither do you eat your seed now. He gives us bread that sustains us for now, but he also gives us a seed that is designed to sustain us in the future. Don't think that everything you have now is to be consumed now. There are some things you have now that is designed to be sown so that you can create a financial harvest for your future. So when you have a season when God allows you to have excess, don't consume all your excess in this season, because when you enter into your next season, financially you'll have much less. Because what he gave you was designed to propel you forward for your future. Are you getting this? God gave the people of Israel manna. He fed them supernaturally, sustained them in the wilderness. But when they got to the promised land, he didn't do that stuff no more. Why? Because they were supposed to understand the principle of sustenance. I'm going to provide your needs. But when you get into the promised land, this requires a greater level of responsibility and maturity. And financially speaking, we cannot just become emotional spenders or consumers that as soon as we get a little excess, we just spend it all or eat our seed. Because then later on the next season, we don't got nothing saved, nothing invested, no money working for us. Hello. This is called, I give seed to the sower. So should God is not going to give you seed if you're not going to sow it. He doesn't give seed to consumers. He gives seed for the sower. Say, I'm a sower. And the same God who supplies will multiply. So God supplies and multiplies the seed you've sown, increase the fruits of your righteousness. Verse 11, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality and generosity, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. All right? So God is going to make sure that you are enriched, but he also wants you to learn that when you have bread and when you have seed, I don't know what season you're in. If you got some seed, you got to find ways to begin to sow it. Find ways to give. And when you give, then the Bible says it will cause thanksgiving to arise within the hearts of people. And the Bible says that we enter into his presence through thanksgiving. So your generosity helps people come into the presence of God because of your generosity, your seed. You ever, somebody ever gave you something good and you're like, thank you, God. God, you came through for me. But it was somebody else who gave you something. But what happened? You just knew that it was God supplying through the person. And that's what happens to anybody. You bless somebody, and the first person they think is God. Hallelujah. God is looking for some people who understand the power of seed offering, who will be able to find ways to give and to give. And let me say, no financial principle in Scripture begins with you receiving. It all starts with you giving. So you give, and it shall be given back to you. Come on. I was telling you guys, start seeing yourselves on the other side of blessing. Stop seeing yourselves as the one saying, Lord, I want somebody to bless me. Start seeing yourself as, Lord, I want to be the one that you choose to bless others through. Because then God will always make sure I got seed to sow. Come on. But if I'm sitting here waiting, God bless me, then I'm always, that means I got to get to a place where I don't have nothing in order for somebody to bless me. But if I think with the mindset, Father, I want to be the blesser. Hallelujah. I want to do the blessing. God would say, okay, I'm going to give seed to the sower because I know what you're going to do with it. You're going to give it away. And the more you give is the more you receive. Amen? Hallelujah. So that's the seed offering. I could spend a lot more on that, but that's just a basic understanding. It's whatever you give above the 10%. Here at Hungry for God, we know we're in our ministry expansion project. So some of you guys are choosing to give offering towards that. That is beautiful. That's phenomenal. That's exactly what we want to see happen. But at the same time, if you feel like you just want to bless somebody and give more to that, beyond that, that's perfectly fine. And the last thing I want you guys to see in terms of giving, the last way the Bible outlines about giving is give to the poor. Give to the poor. Somebody say, give to the poor. The needy, all right? Now, this is a big deal in heaven. Do you remember when Jesus talked about in the parable how there were some people in the last days and Jesus was like, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. And they were like, when did we clothe you and feed you? He said, whenever you've done it to any one of these on earth who didn't have, you've done it to me. Which means Jesus identifies himself with the poor among us. Now look at what the Bible says about giving to the poor. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. Proverbs 19, verse 17. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. Hallelujah. Whoever gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay them. He will pay back what he has given. Now, I want you to think about that verse. God says, if you give to somebody who's poor, if you give to the poor, you are lending to me. Why would God need someone to lend to him? A lender. Somebody, God says, lending to me. So in my imagination, what I see is, I see God looking on earth, seeing as many poor, orphan, homeless, vagrant, that are around. God is in heaven seeing them all and saying to himself, I want to provide for this person. I want to help this person, but I need somebody on earth to give to them. I need somebody to lend to me. I need somebody to lend me their money. I need somebody to lend me their money, their resources, their car, their clothes, their food. I need somebody to lend me something to give to them. Because, you know, God does, I told you, there's no money in heaven. God is not raining down money from heaven to any one of us. Money is on earth. So that's why the Bible says when you give, men shall give to your bosom. Men will give. People will give. But God won't give it. He will inspire someone else to give to you. But God, there's no money in heaven. And even if God was to send money down from heaven, it would be a counterfeit. It's not real money. And God is not a counterfeiter. So God needs us to give. And when we give, we become his hands, his feet to bless and help others. Now God says, I'm looking for somebody who's going to lend to me. Someone who's selfless enough. Someone who's generous enough. Someone who's going to go out their way to feed the poor tonight. Someone who's going to be able to give to that person that doesn't know where their next meal is going to come from. Or that person who's trembling outside, who needs a coat. God is saying, man, I want to bless that person. I want to provide for them. But I need somebody to be my hands and feet. Somebody who doesn't have a tight wallet or closed fist. Somebody who's compassionate enough to go out of their way to give and help them. Can you find anyone? And he says, the person who responds to give to the poor, I will make sure that they will be repaid. So you never lose anything when you give to the poor. But God himself says, I will take care of you. Let me show you another verse, because some of you guys look like you don't know yet. Proverbs 28, verse 27. Proverbs 28, verse 27 says, watch this. Those who give to the poor will lack nothing. They will never want. But those who close their eyes to them receive many curses. That's what the Bible says. Whoever gives to the poor will not lack. Somebody say, not lack. If I'm generous to the poor, I will never lack. But if I hide my eyes from them, like I don't see them when I'm driving past them on the street, or when I'm on a train and I ignore them like they're not there next to me, the Bible says you begin to bring curses on yourself. Come on. See, the world will tell you, you don't know what they're going to do with your money. Don't give them anything. They're going to buy drugs with that. Don't waste your money. But how many of the people have you overlooked who actually were waiting for that next $1, 25 cents to get something to eat? Come on. And God says, when you give to the poor, you lend to me, and I will pay you back. Now, the Bible says God wants you to be a lender, not a borrower. So when I give to the poor, I become a lender. I'm a lender to God. Hallelujah. Come on. Now, when you become a lender, not only do you get back what you lend, but there's interest on top of what you lend. Hallelujah. Anybody went to a bank? They charge you interest. And they put security on it that if you don't pay it, you get penalized, right? So when you lend to the Lord, not only do you get back interest, but God is obliged to pay you back. Because he literally says he becomes a borrower from you. So you become a lender to God. If God owes me money, do you think I got to worry about that coming back to me? Come on. Now, some of y'all, I don't know. But with God, I got to worry about that. Hallelujah. If it's generous as you can. If you don't have it to give, don't give it. You don't have it to give it, but if you have it, give it. And if you can, see, and this is the thing, you got to understand the heart behind this. Because if we are the people of God, if we don't help them, who do we expect to help them? Right? Do you remember when I talked about this before? When Paul came to the apostles after God called him and he became Saul, after he was Saul and converted to Paul, and God was working on him, he was preaching and doing all this stuff, and he didn't meet the disciples yet. And in the book of Galatians, the Bible talks about when he met Peter, James, and John for the first time. And he came to them and he told them that I'm Apostle Paul, I'm the one who's been preaching over here and doing all these great works. And then when they had a conversation, and he validated himself as an apostle, do you know what they told him? After they met him, and Paul was like, all right, I'm going back to ministry, their response to him was, not to remember to keep healing the sick, not to remember to keep doing the supernatural. Their response to Paul was, remember the poor. All they said after they met Paul for the first time and they realized that he was preaching the gospel and doing all these great works for the kingdom, the only commission they told him to do was remember the poor. Now that was Peter, James, and John who walked with Jesus. Paul didn't walk with Jesus. So there was something that Jesus instilled in the apostles that walked with him that they passed down to everyone else, that always remember the poor. Remember Jesus said, the poor you'll have always. So there was something about expanding the kingdom on earth and being able to take care and meet the needs of the poor around you that the apostles understood, that they even told Paul to remember, and that I believe that even as a church, we should always remember the poor. There is something about heaven coming to earth when we remember the poor, when we choose to be generous, not stingy towards them. You know what? Let me just read this one more for you. Deuteronomy, I wasn't going to go here. Deuteronomy 15, verse 9. I'm almost done. Deuteronomy chapter 15. Even if I have 10 cents, I'll give it. If it's a quarter, I'll give it. There were people I gave to and they threw my stuff away. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fight them. I know that if I've given, I'm operating under a heavenly system. But God says, as long as I give to the poor, I don't care what he does with that. I give with the heart and expectation that this is going to produce something in his life. You know what I'm saying? But look at what Deuteronomy 15, verse 4. I said, for the sake of time, let's go to 9. All right, watch this. Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing. And he cries out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. Verse 10. You shall surely give to him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand. All right? I'll go back and read it. Verse 9. Look at the end. He says, if you do not give to your poor brother, and he cries out to the Lord against you, the Bible says it will become sin among you. That if somebody, you chose, you walk past somebody and that poor person said, just prayed or something, pray to God and say, I was hoping that person gave me something they didn't give me. That becomes a sin against you. That's what it's in your Bible. Verse 10, you shall surely give to him. Is it more better to hold on or is it more better to give? It's always better to give. You shall surely give and your heart should not be grieved. Now, don't give if your heart is wrong. If you don't feel like doing it and you're going to do it grudgingly, don't do it. So God wants the motivation to be from our hearts. Your heart should not be grieved when you give to him. Because for this thing, because you chose to give to your poor brethren around you, Lord, the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in whatever you put your hands to do. All right? So what did I say? God is a God of covenant. That's his covenant. That's what he said he would do, right? If we give to the poor, the Lord will surely bless you in all of your works. And whatever it is that you put your hand to do, that's the Bible. Go to 11. For the poor will never cease from the land. That's where Jesus got it from. The poor you'll have always. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide. Somebody say wide. Wide to your brother, to your poor, and your needy in your land. All right? I want you to read Deuteronomy 15. I don't have time to go through all of it. The whole chapter is talking about debt cancellation. He's talking about debts being canceled. And then he says, if you choose to say, I'm not going to give because I know the debts, somebody might help him out later, but you're the one who says, I'm not going to be the one to do it, and he cries out against you, then you're going to bring sin on yourself. But what the principle Jesus was trying to insist is, even amongst us, there should be no one who's poor around us. That if we have debts that need to be canceled, the Lord says your generosity to the poor will directly connect debt cancellation over your life. I know probably you guys haven't really seen it, but this is what the Bible says. Supernatural debt cancellation is connected to giving to the poor. Come on. Not only that, I believe that if we seek out ways to help people get out of their debts, God will find out ways to get you out of your debt. I believe that there are some people in this room right now whose debts are not as probably as big as yours, but they just need help. And that if we knew that we could help them and we chose to help them get out of their debt, God will find a way to help you get out yours. Because when you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. Some of you owe like $50,000 in debt. I don't know if anybody here got $50,000 to give you. But somebody here probably got $500 in debt that they just don't have it yet, that you can probably pay off. Or two people can pay off. You got saved. And if you chose to help them get out their debt, God, I really believe that God will help you get out yours. Say, I got a bigger debt. I don't got enough money to pay it, but I'll help you get out yours. Because I know if I help you, God will help me. And if I keep trying to save and try to attack that debt, it's going to take me how long to pay it off. I don't know. I think that's a strategy that some of us, we can probably start working in our church. Debt cancellation program. You put money together and help people get out of debts. And the more we do it, the more God will begin chipping away our debts. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, that's wisdom. Somebody write that down. Amen? All right. I'm almost done. I'm going to be fast this next time. So these are the three ways to give in the Bible. Now, obviously, we can go in depth in all of these things, but these are just the three basic ways to give. And if you do this, you ensure heaven's blessings. What did the tithe do? It gives you an open heaven guarantee. God will rebuke the devourer. When you give an offering, you can get a 30, 60, 100-fold return on your investment whenever you give. God will multiply your seed and give you back more than you've given. All right? And then finally, you give to the poor and the needy. When you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. God will reimburse you, and he will also find ways to cancel your debts. This is how these giving systems work, right? And the three hows to give, is more than that. But just three, how do we give? 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 and 8, and we're done. Number one, how should I give? I should give willingly. Everybody say willingly. I give willingly. Number two, I give cheerfully. Say cheerfully. Somebody say woohoo. All right. You give excited. And you give expectantly. You give expecting what you gave in return back, coming back to you. So let each one of us give as he purposes where? In his heart. So this is a matter of the heart when you give. Give as you purpose in your heart, not grudgingly. So the first thing is I give willingly. I purpose in my heart to give. Don't give because you feel this is, somebody is forcing you to do it or anything like that. Do it from the heart. We gave you more than enough reasons why you should want to give. So give willingly. Number two, not grudgingly or of necessity. Don't be mad or angry about giving. We know, I don't want you to give if you don't want to. But we want you to give if you feel it motivated in your heart. This is what I want to do to help me get out of my debt and see God's faithfulness in my life. And God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. If you give something to somebody that you know you're not getting back and you want it, it's not really cheerful. Somebody takes something from you and you don't think you're going to get it back. That's not a good feeling, is it? But if you give knowing you're going to get back more than what you gave, then you give excited. And I want you to picture that every time you give to God. You give your tithe, when you give your offering, and even when you're helping the poor, I want you to see this up. I'm giving to this poor person, Father, but I know that I'm lending to you. I want you to visualize that poor person in your midst, on the train, wherever you are, and say, Lord, I'm lending to you. I'm helping this person out. I really believe that angels sometimes disguise themselves as vagrants. For the Bible says you can entertain angels unknowingly. But sometimes there will be angels that come around you who just want to see how you're going to react or respond and to give you opportunities to give. So I don't put it past any person that I see, no matter how. I believe I had a few angelic encounters with some homeless people before. And so whenever I give, I always give with the expectation or the anticipation that this might be an angel sent from God to test me on whether or not I'm going to be able to be a blessing. Amen? But give cheerfully. Always remember that God wants you to give exciting. And number 8, verse 8, when we're done. And God is able to make all grace, all undeserved, all unearned, unmerited favor, breaks, opportunities to come your way, that you will always have all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Come on. So God's desire is for us to have abundance. Amen. God's plan, this is his system. And when we work this system, and he's faithful to his covenant, if we work this system, he will ensure that we will always have an abundance for all good things. I don't care what financial state you're in right now. As little as you think you have, it's just enough to prosper you. Because all I need to do is give up based on what I have. So if I have $5 to my name, if I can take 10% of that, and then I can take something from that and give in addition, and then I find somebody who's poor that I can help, with $5, God will multiply that seed. It may not be a lot to you, but it may be a lot to someone else. But God just wants to see you work the system, work the principle, work in the covenant, and God will multiply and increase you. Amen? This isn't complicated. The kingdom is easy. The Bible says, my yoke is easy. Even a child can do this. Are we going to be faithful? Are we going to be diligent? Are we going to be faithful and are we going to be diligent? Amen. All right, so let's rejoice and let's celebrate. Come on, let's rejoice and celebrate. Amen. I just want to challenge you this week. I wanted to see you guys. I want to challenge you all this week. Give to somebody unknowingly to this week. Let's bless somebody this week unknowingly. Can we do that? Just find somebody to bless. However you can. And I just want to see what God, what's going to happen as a result of that. Just to make that a little challenge for us. All right? All right, so let's go. We're going to...